Good morning, everybody. Good morning, good morning, good morning. Wonderful to see you all, and we are going to have an amazing morning together with the Father. We have the beautiful Bethel team with us today, and we have just been so enjoying God's presence together since they all arrived on whatever day that was. It feels like months ago, but it's only Wednesday, wasn't it? But Father loves to meet with us. And that's what he's going to do again today. So if you weren't ready for that, brace yourself, because you need to be ready, like about right now. Father's going to meet with us, okay? And so what we thought we'd do, any of you who've been here before will know that the key priority for us here at Catch the Fire is not to be predictable, but to be responsive to what Father's doing and what he wants. That's why we can't always tell you what's going to happen. We usually try and start relatively on time, but beyond that, it's what does Father want? And as we've been talking, we felt like the Father wants us to begin with communion this morning, to celebrate the Lord's Supper as the start to our worship. And so now that I've welcomed you, sorry, did you want to welcome everybody as well?
Yeah, I am so excited for this morning. I love every single person who you're here. And I know that the Father is doing something really unique in us together. And to have you being part of that is beautiful. He is just touching our hearts with such intimacy. And he is just taking us like into deep places with him, but together. So that's beautiful that we're doing communion. It's great.
Thank you, sweetheart. So I'm going to ask Bianca and Cole, who are leading the team, to come up and lead us into celebrating the Lord's Supper. And then after that, I guess we'll move on into DJ worship with DJ Alex. Thank you, guys. In case I don't get to say this at the end,
No, you can. I just want to say thank you to every single one of the team, because they have been so just perfect. Like, it couldn't have been more beautiful. I mean, they have just served and loved and been everything. Like, we just had our hearts just refreshed, and the kindness and the words, and amazing teams. Thank you so much. And just the sensitivity and kindness.
So, over to you.
Yeah, hi everyone, I'm Cole, and we were just going to read some scripture off before we take communion, all connected to communion. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the first one I'm going to read is 1 Corinthians 11:26, and it says, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you will proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." And I think that's such a beautiful thing for us, that every time we get to take communion, we're just proclaiming that, oh, Jesus did die. We're paid in full. And that's such a beautiful testimony that we get to hold on to every single time, and such a beautiful reminder for us. Mm-hmm. Oh, phone died. Okay, but yeah, I want to hand it off to Anna, and she's going to lead us in the drink and the bread. Yeah.
Yeah, I just really feel to talk about the importance of communion together. And actually, you may have taken communion many times before. This may be your first time taking communion, but even if it's your 1,000th time of taking communion, to not let it be, oh, I'm just doing this again because I have to do this, and it's something that I do every week or however often you do. But actually just to come before the Lord and, yeah, just give your offering to him of gratitude and thanksgiving that, yeah, thank you, God, for sending your son Jesus and that he died in each one of our places. And I just picture Jesus on the cross, and as he was there, he thought about each and every person. Yeah, just to keep that in mind and just really not let this become familiar, not to let this communion become just something that we have to do, but actually it's something that we get to do. So yeah, I'd like to invite you to, if we've got the bread and the juice. Okay, yeah, so if you'd like to just grab the elements. I just want to invite you to just have your moment with God right now, just you and him. If you want to just close your eyes or open your hands, and just be with him. Yeah, so if you want to take the bread, his body, and just thank him. Thank you, Jesus, for your body that was broken in the place of mine, in the place of each person. Thank you, Jesus. And yeah, just to take the blood now and just thank Jesus for the blood that was shed for us. Thank you, Father God. thank you, Heavenly Father, for giving up your only Son, Jesus, that he died in our place, that our sins died with him on that cross, and yeah, that we can receive forgiveness, God, and that you're just so good to us. Thank you. And then not only did Jesus die, but that he rose again. That he rose again, and that his work is still not finished because he's coming back. So thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. We come before you in communion together as a body, as your body, God. We just come before you and we thank you for everything that you've done and everything that you're going to do. And I just pray that we never let this communion become familiar, and that we always come before you with a fresh thankfulness in our hearts and a fresh revelation of your love, God. In Jesus' name, amen.
It's always beautiful to, from communion, go into a response into the love that Jesus gave and poured out to us. And then our response is worship. So from there, we're just going to go into worship now.
I was lost, but now I'm found. Hallelujah. Father, thank you for the gospel. Thank you for the life that you've given us. Thank you for the joy that we can share as we celebrate your love, as we celebrate your presence, as we celebrate your anointing in one another's lives. And now, Father, as we listen to testimony of who you are and what you've done, allow our hearts to be more stretched by you, to be open to you in new ways. Help us to receive, Father, from what you've done in others' lives, that you would do it in our lives too. Thank you for your presence in this place. Amen. I know several of the team have got testimony and things to share with us, but I have no clue who's going first. So here I am standing here with a microphone, and I'm ready to hand it to whoever. Who's up? Mary Jane.
Thank you. Thank you. And I want to thank you for having us here today in the last 3 days, really, the last 2 days, 2 days before this. And as I've been asking the Holy Spirit, what do you want me to share? Because really, there are so many testimonies. There just are so many testimonies. And this keeps coming back because this was such a lesson to me. I grew up believing in the Holy Spirit, that there was a Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit was part of the triune God. But there was never much of any emphasis placed on the Holy Spirit and not the gifts. Like we would pray for healing and we would pray for miracles and we would pray for things, but there was no, I never sensed that there was any real expectation that it would actually happen. And then I had an experience. I just asked God to speak to me. And I, of course, what I realized is he had been speaking to me for a very long time. I just thought I had a real good intuition, that I just sensed what I, you know, what was happening in somebody or what was going on. Do you know what I'm talking about when I say that? You know what I'm saying? And I just thought, well, that's a gift that I have, and I just am really intuitive. That was what I'm really intuitive. And then, of course, I realized, discovered later, that it really wasn't so much intuitive because I was never really encouraged to read the Bible growing up. And it wasn't really until my mid-40s, and you can see I'm actually the great-grandmother, not in reality, but of this group, because you see a lot of young people, and then there's me. But and it's interesting what you can learn from young people. There's so much that you can learn from young people. And that's really been a blessing for me. This is the very first mission trip I've ever been on. And this keeps coming to me. And I thought about this a great deal once I started reading the Bible. And it's John 12:49. I love John. It's probably my favorite book of the Bible because it's just all about love. And it said, Jesus states, "For I did not speak on my own authority, but the Father who sent me commanded me what to say and what to speak." And I thought, well, and I know that when he went to the Garden of Gethsemane, that he went and off and prayed to the Father, that he was always casting his eyes on the Father, and that before he did anything, it seemed, that he was always praying to the Father, looking to the Father. And I thought, he's asking the Father what to say. What should he say? And truthfully, when I started doing that, like intentionally, like it would come if I wasn't intentional, but if I was intentional, then it would just like, fear. It was just fear, like, oh no, he's not going to speak to me. And then I retired. But see, I only retired 3 years ago. And when I retired, I said, God, use me however you want to use me. And then every morning I'd say, is there somebody that needs a touch? Is there somebody that needs something? Maybe they need food. Maybe they need a visit. Maybe they need a phone call. Maybe they need a note. I'm available, whatever you want. And because every day he would put somebody on my mind, I just would say it in the morning and then forget it because somebody would always show up. Not every day, but almost every day. And then I'd call somebody and I'd think to myself, well, gosh, they seem to be doing well. I wonder why they need a call. But I would do it, and because that was easy to do. If it was easy to do, I could do it. It's when it's not easy to do. And then, but I said it one morning, I'm sitting in my living room, and I said, God, you know, who needs a touch from heaven today? Who needs a touch from Jesus today? And then I forgot it. And my husband and I, in the wintertime, we always walk the mall because it's freezing cold in Michigan, which is where I come from. And so we're walking the mall, and we are not slow walkers. I mean, we are like moving in that mall. So I'm not expecting anything except to walk in the mall. And then as I'm, there's like a big food court, which is like a huge round area where people come and they, you know, they have all the what do you call them? You know, food court, places where people can get food, yeah. And then there's a little corridor that leads out into the mall and you can go to the right or you can go to the left and do your shopping. So we're going through the, we were going through the corridor into the mall where there's a kiosk, and there's a kiosk that's right in the middle of this place, and there's never anybody there. And I've been in that mall so many times, I just know there's never anybody there. And so we are really, we've picked up a good clip now, and we are walking, 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 and I look over, and I see actually a woman in that space. She's the salesperson, and she's just sitting back there, like, looking, I'll just say unpleasant, just looking like not inviting. And I thought to myself, but this will tell you where my head was, I thought to myself, well, no wonder nobody ever comes to your space. I mean, I wouldn't either. And right then, it was so clear a voice, I heard the Holy Spirit say, that one, you go speak to that. And I thought, what? That's what I'm thinking. But we're walking along, and my husband's moved, so I'm keeping up with him. And now I have this argument all the way around the mall. And I said, but God, she just looks so unpleasant. I don't think she'd be very appreciative of this. And as I come around, I just say, all right, I promise I will speak to her. We're going around, and I didn't, because she's still sitting there, still looking unpleasant. And so I'm feeling very bad. I'm repenting. God, I am so sorry. I know you want me to do this, but I will. I will. The third time around, I said, I'm putting my hand on the Bible. I swear I will say something to her. I don't know what I'll say. I'm going to say something to her. And the third time around, she wasn't there. And I thought, I don't have to say anything. So I went home, and of course the next morning I'm sitting like I do every morning when my husband leaves for his office, and I'm sitting there and I'm in prayer and reading the Bible and talking to God. And I just said, God, I am so sorry. The last thing I want to do really is to grieve your Holy Spirit. I don't want to grieve you, Lord. So give me another chance. Just give me another chance. But please make it easier. I don't do this kind of thing. I mean, what do you want me to do? And he said, give her $20 and tell her I love her. And was I'm thinking, I'm just started. He said, make it 100. I can do it. I can do it. So I called my husband up and I said, Bill, I need you to stop on the way home and I need you to go to the bank and get a $100 bill. He said, huh, what for? And I said, well, the Holy Spirit, you know that woman I told you yesterday that I just didn't hear? And he said, yes. I said, well, I just asked God to have me to make it easier that if she was there again today, I would do something, but to make it easier. And he said, give her $100 and tell her that I love her. So he's learned. I mean, he had learned by that time that if I say the Holy Spirit speaks to me, he knows that's true. So he did. He came home. And I've got this $100 bill in my hand. We go Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, three more days. She is not there. But I'm not giving up because I want to be the conduit for the Holy Spirit. I am not going to disappoint a fourth time. So on Monday of the following week, we're there. I've got the money in my pocket, in my hand. I've got my hand in my pocket. The money is in my hand. And there she sits, same woman, looking just unpleasant, really unpleasant. And I walk over to her, and I thought, no, this time I have a better reason. And I walked over to her, and there's just a little, I mean, it's a kiosk, so, you know, it's not very big. There's just about this much counter space between me and there. And there she sat back there. And I just mustered up the biggest smile, and I said, hi. And this was the expression. And I said, hi. And she got up, no expression on her face, just the same, and walked over to me. And I said, you know, you're probably going to think this is crazy, but I was here last week, and God pointed you out to me and told me I should come over and speak to you, and I didn't. And I don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit. I don't know if you believe in the Holy Spirit or not, but I do. I believe the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, and I don't want to grieve him. So I just asked him to give me another chance, and he did. So he told me today that I should give you this. Now, there's no expression. You know, somebody can look at your hand, look at your face. And she reached out, put her hand, and I just put it in. And when she opened her hand up, oh, she said, you have no idea. You just have no idea how much I could use this. Oh, thank you so much. Thank. Like, where did she come from? You know what I mean? This was like hardly the same woman that had been sitting back there. And she said, oh, thank you. She said, how did you know I needed this? And I said, I didn't. I said, but he obviously did, and I am so grateful that he chose me to be his conduit to get this to you. And she said, oh, thank you. You are such a blessing. Thank you. I said, well, you know what? I want to thank you, too, because if it hadn't been for your joy this morning and you telling me what you just did, I said, I may not have this incredible joy inside of me for having actually obeyed and seeing that he was so right that I was supposed to. I'm just sorry I'm, you know, like 5 days late or whatever it is. But you're finally getting it. So I said, he wants you to know that he sees you and he loves you. And he obviously knew you needed this. And so really, it's from our Heavenly Father, and I'm just so grateful. She reached her hand out and she said, my name is Jen. And I said, well, I'm Mary Jane. And she said, Mary Jane, can I come around and hug you Like, this is the same woman. And I said, you sure can. And she came around and she hugged me. And I told my husband, I said, you know, she gave me a better hug than he gives me great hugs. But I said, this hug was like, you know, when somebody hugs you with this deep sense of love that you know they're just so, well, that was it. And I really did feel like it was her hug was like God's arms hugging both of us. He was hugging her. I was hugging her, but he was also hugging me for having been obedient. And I was so joyful. The whole next day, I went home. The next morning, I'm again in prayer. And I look and I say, God, thank you for allowing me to be so blessed. And I said, but tell me, I'm just wondering, why did you up the ante, like from $20 to $100? And he said, oh, that was for you. I just wanted you to know that there's, and his voice was so loving and so kind. And he said, I just wanted you to know that there's always a price to pay when you don't obey my command. And I thought, I'll tell you, after that, even if it was uncomfortable, I just said, I know if he's asking me to do it, I'm doing it. And you know what? He does not. There is no regret. So I guess I'm here today to just reinforce what I know you already know. But when he speaks, that no matter how uncomfortable, it's just so important that we don't just listen, but more importantly, that we obey. Because it's in the obeying that we get to experience the fruit. And when we experience the fruit, this is the best part, is he gets all the glory. And that's really what he wants. So thank you.
Yeah. What is your name again?
Mary Jane.
Mary Jane. Okay, I was just thinking as you were talking about this, and what we were talking about in our financial class, part two, this week and next week, we're talking about increasing fruits of righteousness. And that's what you did. God used money to increase fruits of righteousness in you and to set that woman free.
Yes.
That's awesome. That's what we're talking about in our financial class.
And you do know, thank you. You do know that woman, we're still walking in the mall, except when I get home, I think it's 60 degrees now, so that's good. We go home tomorrow. But so we'll walk outside. But that woman is still in the mall, and every time I go by her, she calls, because I've had conversation with her. So we create a relationship. I asked her about Easter. Did she know about Easter? Yes. Did she believe? Yes, she was a believer. Do you have a church? I'm not going to pull somebody away from my church, from their church to go to mine. But she said yes, that she did, but she had to something. But anyway, we've had this conversation. But I've not been there since, that she doesn't go out of her way to come over, or she'll holler across, hi, Mary Jane. So it's just a wonderful way to make friends. So I just want to pray for you today that every day when you wake up, because there's always somebody, that you just ask the Lord, how can I serve you today? How can I be your conduit today? Who is it that needs a touch from Jesus? Who is it that may need a phone call or a meal, that may need just need a little note, that needs a card, that needs a scripture sent by text, something that just says, I see you, I love you, I'm thinking about you. May every day be a day, because there's always somebody out there who needs it. So I release some of this language through Bethel is a little new to me, but I just release God's blessing over you. I release his word over you. I release the power of the Holy Spirit. He releases it, but may the power, the fire, catch the fire of the Holy Spirit rest on you today and every day as you go about doing his work. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Mary Jane. That was so beautiful and so relatable for all of us, because we all have moments like that where we disobey God in a moment, but he gives us another chance to redeem ourselves and to speak life into other people. And I also just want to invite up Lily. She's got a testimony to share with all of us.
So today I got told like 20 minutes before church started that I was speaking today. And I felt like the Lord really just wanted me to share part of my testimony in kind of where I've come from. And I think that that's going to, like, what they wanted me to speak on was a lot about the presence of God and intimacy with Him. And so I grew up in a Christian household. My parents were youth pastors for a little bit. And I lived in Florida for 9 years before I moved to Reading. I grew up in the Bethel environment. I went to the middle school, and in that middle school, it was some of the best years of my life, like growing my relationship with the Lord. But I grew a lot of, I don't want to say pain, but I was very scared to show how I connected with the Lord because it wasn't in a way that everybody else did. It wasn't up front shaking on the floor. It wasn't by manifesting, which is a lot of the people do that at Bethel. And it was something that was very new to me. And I grew a lot of insecurity about the way that I encountered the Lord and about the way that I connected with Him. And I think that through that, I started to hide my relationship with the Lord. I started to hide the way that I worshiped, the way that I prayed with Him. And I became ashamed about it. And a few months ago in school, we had a week where people were being set free from all sorts of things. And there was this one service where everybody was up in the front shaking on the floor, and I'm in the back just like, Lord, why are you not encountering me in this way? Why am I not experiencing you in the way that all these other people are, in the way that I've grown up knowing, like, that's the way that you experience the Lord? And he sat me in the back, and I'm sitting there crying, and he takes me down this aisle, and everything around me is white, and it's like a wedding aisle, and he leads me down the aisle, and he sits me in this chair. And he starts washing my feet, and he starts speaking over me the truth about the way that I am intimate with him and the way that I connect with him. And he started telling me that just the way that I experience him and the way that I encounter him is just as important. It's just as special, and it's just as powerful as the people who are on the floor shaking. And I'm not saying this by saying there's anything wrong with that, because I love that, and I love the way people experience the Lord in that way. And he read this verse to me that my mom had actually written in my Bible when I was a baby, and I just had forgotten about it. And it was Jeremiah 29:13, and it says, "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." And I realized that in that moment that there's nothing more important than seeking the Lord with all your heart. There's nothing more important than giving him your all. And there's nothing more important than laying down your life for him. And in that moment, I realized that it's not about comparing myself to the people around me and doing what the world wants me to do, but it's what the Lord wants me to do. And that through laying everything down for him and doing what he wants me to do and making myself uncomfortable for him is the way that I'm going to experience him in the way that I'm going to connect with him on a deeper level. And I feel like over these past few months, I've just been learning that it's okay to just sit with him. It's okay to be the one crying in the back when everybody else is laughing and shaking. It's okay to be soaking in his presence while everybody else is standing up dancing, and that even in those moments when you feel like the Lord isn't encountering you because it doesn't look like what everybody else is doing, it's it's something that is just as powerful, and it's nothing to be ashamed of. It's nothing to be anxious about or worry about. And he's even been leading me through this journey of just being in peace with him in those moments and being in sitting in his peace. And I also built a lot of anxiety from that every time I would even just sit. Like, there is times when I would stand, and that would be the most freeing thing. But just being ashamed of the way that I would encounter the Lord, he led me through this journey of letting go of my anxiety and building peace in him and focusing, like, even in the moments when I'm worried and I'm focusing on the people around me, that I just need to close my eyes and connect with him and focus on him. And through that, I've realized that it's also not just about sitting in the presence with him, but it's about making yourself uncomfortable for him, and that there is nothing wrong with shaking on the floor in the front. There's nothing wrong with lifting your hands during worship. And through that, I had built a habit of not doing that because I didn't want to be doing something that wasn't pure and something that wasn't intimate with him. And I think that as he led me through the moments of me finding how I connect with him and the moments where I was building that peace and that security with him, he has led me into moments where I have been jumping up and down during worship and lifting my hands and realizing that that is also so important, and it's so important to make a sacrifice for him every day and to become uncomfortable in the situations where you are comfortable. And once you get stuck in comfortability, that it's something that you're not laying your life down fully for him, and you need to be able to grow in a way where at first just sitting and being in his presence could look like giving your all, but then there's some days when giving your all is being up at the front and jumping up and down and praising him with your whole heart. So I think that's just a little bit of my testimony and the journey that I've been through the past few months. So I'm just going to release that over you guys. So thank you, Jesus, for these people. And I just ask that over the next few seasons, you would come and encounter them in ways that they've never realized they could, and that you would start to fill them with the peace of your love, that their minds would start to be filled with your peace of just knowing that they are so loved by you in every situation, in every way that they encounter you, and every way that they connect with you, that they would feel so much peace about that. They wouldn't be anxious and worried about the way that they connect with you, because they know that you connect in so many different ways, that you meet people in so many different ways, and that they're all just as important as the others. So, yeah, Lord, I thank you for this church and what you've built here, and I just ask that you would lead them into a season of being filled with your peace and your love, and that they wouldn't be worried about the people around them and about what they aren't doing, but they would just focus on you. So, in Jesus' name.
Oh, that was so beautiful. Yeah. And then finally, I think we're just going to invite Scott up. He's got something to share. And something about Scott is he just has, like, whatever he says is always so powerful. And he's just an amazing man of God. I just want to honor him really quick. This guy is amazing. And I only met him when we got to South Carolina, because we didn't know each other before, because he's online. But his life, what he walks and what he carries, is just so beautiful. And it's a privilege to be able to hear him speak. Yeah.
Thank you, Cole. You ever have one of those moments when you don't know what you're going to say until you actually say it? Good morning, everyone. So is it all y'all or just y'all? All y'all, that's plural? Okay, that's what I thought. Good morning, y'all. First, I want to say that this is such a house of freedom and childlikeness and hunger. It's a privilege to be here and be a part of that. Never participated in a Christian rave before. That was awesome. I think that's what they call them. It was kind of sprung on me too this morning about to share something. And I kind of have two encounters that I'm going to share with you. Two encounters. And then we'll see what Holy Spirit wants to do with that. So my first one involves being down in Reading for a Randy Clark healing conference. And there was, you know, lots of miracles going on and lots of testimonies. And the presence was there. It was amazing. And at the end of the conference, they had everybody come out into the aisles and stand with your hands outstretched. And then Randy and Bill Johnson, I think there was a couple other members of the team, came through and they just did a quick little prayer, touched your hands, and moved down the row. Well, as you can imagine, there was lots of laughing, crying, everything in between, people falling out, people still standing, all sorts of things. So as you can imagine, as it's getting closer and closer to me, there was that, holy cow, what's going to happen moment, you know? You're thinking in your mind, what's going to happen here? But okay, God, I'm here, I'm yours, do what you want. And so I had my eyes closed. I don't know who touched me, probably all of them, or I don't know. But my wife is next to me, and they get to her. Down she goes laughing. Thought, oh, Lordy, here we go. But a totally different experience happened to me, kind of what Lily was talking about. It's manifests different for everybody, and everybody experiences it different. It's beautiful. For me, it was this giant, I don't know how to explain it. It was like a whoosh came over me, hit me in the top of the head, and out through my body. I didn't go down, but it was just like this overwhelming sense of peace. And it was just beautiful. I just remember standing there I didn't want it to end, just basking in it, so to speak. And I felt like from that encounter, it's like when you encounter stuff like that, whatever it is, you then have the gift, I guess you would say, to release that in others. And jump a couple of years forward to another encounter I had. It was a revival group one night. And so this kind of piggyback on that peace thing. I remember just kind of kicking back in my chair. Wasn't sure exactly what was going to happen. And I kind of went into I guess you could say it was an open vision, or it was just in my mind's eye. I don't know what you want to call it. And just remember being weightless, like I was floating in the ocean, really. It was warm. It was sunny. And above me was this giant golden pitcher. And it was just pouring out the oil of heaven over the top of me. And it hit me in the head, and it just rolled throughout my entire body. And I just remember it being one of the most peaceful experiences I've ever had. And the cool part was, at the end of it, I looked down, and there was a golden pitcher at my feet. And so what it was doing was collecting not the runoff, but from the abundance of Holy Spirit being poured out. It was collecting its own little reservoir. And so I'm going to take a risk here today. What I'd like to invite you to do, if you're willing, if you want to stand, just stay seated, whatever you want to do. And I just want you to open up your hands to receive. It's okay. So I just want, you know, close your eyes and envision yourself like in a weightless chamber, floating in the ocean. Whatever happy place you have, but you're safe, you're secure, you're warm, it's just you and Father God. And over the top of you appears a great big giant golden pitcher. And from it starts pouring his presence. His presence is hitting you, washing over you, touching you, cleansing. Whatever you're needing from him, he is supplying in abundance. It's washing away cares, anxieties, concerns, filling you with hope, love, and you're just soaking in his presence. And it's washing over you, coming in waves, just washing over you. Restoring, refreshing, rejuvenating, speaking to you in those places that you need encouragement, maybe. You need to hear his voice. You need to hear his love. Allow it to just wash over you. Let go. Let go of that thing. You know what it is. Allow his forgiveness, his grace, his empowering presence to just wash over you. Allow his presence to just minister you however you need it. Just receive. He is here. He wants to encounter you. More importantly, he wants you to encounter him. Let's just give him a moment to just wash over you, minister to you.
God's presence is so strong in here this morning.
Just encourage you to stay in that place of receiving. Do what only you can do, Father, in each of our lives. Thank you that you are here for us to step forward into what we couldn't achieve ourselves, that we would become more of who you've designed us to be. In the power of the Holy Spirit and without human effort, we just yield to you. Say, have your way. And so as we draw our gathering time to a close, you don't have to hurry from where you are. Just stay in what God is doing. The team are here, and you're welcome to go to any of them, particularly the ones who've shared their testimonies. If you felt a strong tug from the Holy Spirit that what they shared was relevant to you, I'd encourage you just to ask them to agree with you, to pray a brief prayer with you of agreement that God will do in you what only God can do. For those of us that this is our home, if you have your tithe to return, the receiving's here. If you have an offering, there's a basket as well. I want to be sure that none of us misses what God is doing. So I want to release you just to go to whoever you'd like to go to. The team are going to stand at the front here. Come and receive. Ask them to agree with you. Bless one another. And we will see you back here next week. If you haven't already signed up for the Passover Seder or the camping trip, I want to remind you to do that. Because both of those registrations are still open and we need to know whether you're coming or not. But don't lose what God is doing. Stay in this moment. Until he tells you to move, stay with him. When he does tell you to move, do what he tells you to do. Therefore, you will have a great week. Amen.